two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. I just don't know how to handle that.
Well, I think it's always good to get it out on air.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over well.
It's best to debate these things on radio.
Yes. Craig Buller Jack joins us now, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Buller, how are you?
Hey, Buller.
Guys, happy Friday the 13th. Just thought I'd let you know about that.
Man, it's good to hear.
Oh, it is
me.
Friday the 13th.
Even though it is a Friday the 13th.
I didn't put that together. Are you a horror movie guy, Buller?
No, not really. You know, I like to get a little bit shook up, but if you take into Saw 4 or Saw 5, I don't know where they are now. I'm not into that.
No, like, I'm not into those either. Like, I don't like the really brutal ones like that, but give me, like, old school Halloween or old school Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Again, it's me, right? You know, you're talking... Gonna laugh, man, but you know, watching one night the original Dracula or Wolfman, you know what I mean? A little black and white and kind of the music and
Buller, you're
slow,
not,
I know, but
you're not that old.
No, you're way younger than that, Buller.
Yeah. But you know, some of those old classics are pretty good. Lon Chaney Jr. No, here's a problem. I stay up too late, I travel, and I watch old movies. And what do you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, guess what's on? The cheap stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Typically. Scotty, did you or Buller happen to watch The Quiet Place?
Oh, yeah.
Or Quiet Place?
I've not seen the second one.
Yeah, The Quiet Place is pretty rocking.
That's the type of thriller I'm into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to... let your mind think a little bit, but have you watched? Scotty gave me an amazing suggestion once. Of it's got John Candy in it. No,
it was John Candy. Oh no, not sorry. No.
John Goodman.
John Goodman. Yeah, you're right.
And it's got it's a thriller. It's
13 Cloverfield Lane. I want to say or
oh,
something. Cloverfield
oh, oh,
Lane.
Yeah. Oh, that's a wild one.
It's so good, isn't it? They're the underground bunker.
Oh, that's the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you just didn't expect that, right? But are you talking also about the acid tank?
Yes.
That's the one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, see, Buller, we're on the same page with that.
Yeah.
You know, like Signs was rocking.
Loved it.
Yeah. I've told Hans this story. That movie put my wife into labor on our first one. Yeah, she was 2 days overdue. We went and saw Signs, and that little jump scare with the video camera and the alien pops in, and her water broke, and later that night, and off we went.
This didn't happen in the theater, did it?
No, water did not break in the theater, no.
Okay, I was just curious. I mean, that would be quite a story.
Speaking of which, we did a Whole World News, Buller, and we talked about a woman who, at 39 weeks pregnant, went to a Metallica concert. They opened up, and...
39 weeks?
39 weeks. Did I say when he and right there on the edge of pregnant or of giving birth, and Metallica opens up and they're rocking. Her water breaks. Maybe three, four songs left in the set. She wants to finish it. They finish off with Enter Sandman just as the baby's coming out on the floor at the concert.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, she didn't want to leave.
There's a little that's over the edge, maybe, of being a fan, but you know, come on. she couldn't leave, right? Until, yeah, okay.
Yeah. We're not leaving. We paid good money for these tickets.
I don't know if it was the guy that was like, can you just hold on, honey? They're getting in her Sandman. Just be patient.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there's great stories. You know, a little fear or a little rock and roll will do a lot of things to you.
Yeah.
Usually for me, it's like your heart jumps a little bit. And especially with Goodman, man, he played that scene too. He played that character too convincing.
Yeah. No, he knocked that thing out of the park.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
That was, sometimes you get these people that are comedians, you think, or, you know, and then all of a sudden they turn a little dark. And they're really good at it, by the way. So.
All right, Craig Bowler-Jack joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Are you do you sit back and you watch the playoffs and enjoy it after the Jazz get bounced, or do you have a hard time watching these games after seeing the team that, you know, you're a part of for the last, you know, 5 or 6 months not be a part of it?
I kind of took a breath, to be honest, and now I'm kind of back into it. I'm kind of excited to see how this all turns out, if age is going to catch up with Chris Paul. And the Suns, I think home court's going to play itself out in this series in a big way coming up on Sunday for Game 7. That's just me. You know, the Heat really kind of took care of Philly. Philly's got issues that they're going to have to talk about a lot during the offseason. The Bucks and Celtics, you know, back and forth. But, you know, the Bucks have a chance, what is it, Game 6 tonight, in fact, to close out the Celtics with that 3-2 lead. And, you know, Golden State, they've got a chance too tonight. They started off pretty strong, winning, what, three of four? And they can close it out tonight too after a absolute butt-whooping by Memphis without Ja Morant. What was it, 39-40, going on 50 at one point? I mean, unbelievable beatdown. But I kind of get a feeling that Clay and Steph aren't too worried about it. In fact, I think they were kind of putting Draymond out there kind of joking about it anyway, about getting their tails kicked.
Yep.
But I think the Phoenix series will be interesting to see if Doncic overpowers the Phoenix Suns, who were there last year, you know, right against the Bucks in the finals. And almost felt like it was going to be a straight run right back to another rematch. But there's something about Doncic and Brunson and the way Dallas plays, they are at you. They're blitzing you constantly. And I don't know if Chris Paul can keep up with it. Maybe the home crowd gives him the energy that he needs. But, you know, Dallas is a tough customer. I mean, the Jazz fans saw it. I thought Phoenix took care of them really easy with the two home wins. And they go to Dallas, and they ran into a buzzsaw, and they saw exactly what the Jazz saw down in Dallas.
You mentioned this Boston and Milwaukee series, and I think it's fantastic. And I also think it's a little bit surprising because I thought once Middleton went out, I thought it was going to be kind of a lopsided. Do I put too much weight and emphasis into Middleton's ability? Because I feel like you're kind of taking LaVerne off the court. Now you got Shirley, essentially, and you're still staying in this thing with Boston.
Now, that's old school TV for you.
There it is, LaVerne and Shirley, man. Yeah. You know what? Last year when you saw them win, right, the Bucks, I mean, those guys worked. And the Jazz, I think, try to follow the same suit of learning and the process of going into a finals and learning how to win it. And the Suns are kind of in that same position right now after getting on the brink of a championship, and the Bucks actually won it. Middleton has been around, and Giannis, they've grown together. That was kind of the whole thing about, you know, the Jazz, Conley, Donovan, you know, Rudy, et cetera, and they would find their way. Man, you know, it's you got to have some luck, and obviously you got to have some great talent. I'm looking at some defense in this playoffs that I think is something that each team is going to reevaluate, including the Jazz in the offseason. We don't talk much about it in the regular season, the 82 games. It's all about, you know, the offensive game and, you know, let the league breathe and the officials, you know, the complaints, you know, where's the foul? And then all of a sudden you've got yourself, you know, fans want to be entertained. I get it. But the league has backed off letting defenders be exactly that. But you've seen a lot more rough physical play, right, in the postseason. And I'm kind of tired, too, of the flops, which there's a lot of. But if you get touched, it's like the grassy knoll, Scotty in hands, you know, where'd the bullet come from, you know, behind the picket fence? I don't know. But I think fans tire of that, the antics. But I still like the official. I want the official to let guys play a D. I like the body up. You know, I like the no harm, no foul concept, but it's not consistent, in my opinion. And I think fans like it, too, to be honest. You know, the All-Star game comes to mind where they just stand back and let them shoot threes or drive uncontested to the bucket. I mean, I know that's what the fans want. That's what it's all about. But that's not what I want to see in playoff basketball. I want to see guys compete. And, yeah, I like to see a guy get knocked down in good contact play, but it doesn't mean you have to be whistled or reviewed for the 10th time in one game for a flagrant one. And we've seen a lot of that as well.
Greg Bowler, Jack, joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. You know, you sit back and you watch Philly, and they had a ton of talent. You watch Brooklyn, they had a ton of talent. And for some reason, it just isn't clicking for some of these teams. And, you know, obviously we saw the Laker debacle. And so you kind of just kind of step back and kind of have a smile when you watch some of these teams that are expected to do more, not do as well?
You know, it's a super team concept, right? That we're going to put together these great, you know, players, and it's all going to be a dominant, you know, walk to the title. But I think we're being proven that that doesn't always work. It did maybe a little bit earlier, you know, with what LeBron was able to do and what Miami did. But I just think there are some players that are hungry. And you know what? You can't hand, you know this, at the highest of level. If you're hungry, that's a whole nother level of perfecting your craft, right? Especially if you have a team that feels that way. Mm-hmm. Hunger's a good thing. I mean, if you've got attitude, but if you think you're going to just be handed a trophy, it doesn't work. James Harden seems like wherever he goes, things just implode. I liked what Embiid said the other day, and it was kind of interesting in his comment, was that if I don't play, they're going to call me soft. If I do play and don't perform well, then I'm bad. And it's kind of, you know, hell, you know, damned if you do and damned if you don't. And Embiid kind of got caught in that, right, Hans? I mean, with a player who wants to be out there, some say don't do it with an orbital fracture. If you do it again, more damage.
Yep.
But, you know, it's interesting how teams approach it. And I think you've got to have attitude. You've got to play D. And obviously, it's a combination of all those things. But I think defense is going to win another title. If it's Giannis, so be it. If it's Ayton and Booker, I don't know. But we're going to find out tonight if they can push past and get into this the finals of the Western Conference.
So, Bowler, as the Utah Jazz wrapped up their season, there was a quick fury of back and forth of, is Donovan gone? Is Rudy gone? Is Quinn gone? And, you know, how are they going to handle this and manage the money? And it feels like as time has kind of crept on and the postseason goes on, it feels like that's really calming down. Are you getting the sense that everybody's kind of calming down and things are settling down? Or do you think behind the scenes it's still a fevered pitch?
Great question. You know, it's good to step back. I think any good business owner or manager would say, look, let's take a breather here, because the emotions you can wear on your sleeve, and fans, you know, as well. I mean, the talk on social media the first 3 to 5, 7 days after Dallas punched their ticket to the next round and sent the Jazz home. Plus, I think what was upsetting too, Hans and Scotty, there was no indication from the Jazz what was going on, because for the first time that I can remember, there was no locker room clean out that allowed, you know, the radio station to be live at the arena and locked, and you guys always jump in and do, you know, locker room clean out interviews, and there was a feel for what direction the Jazz were going. Didn't happen this year. So I think it kind of fed fan the flames. And I think it got hot, right, with the conversation. And Rudy dropped a few lines. Donovan's been quiet. Quinn had his hip, had hip surgery. And so he talked last week, but was really noncommittal, even about his future, even though I think looking ahead, he still talked as if he was going to be a part of this franchise. And of course, that's left up to him in some ways and left up to Ryan and Justin Zanuck in the other, but I think they work well together. Fans are upset too with the way, you know, again, with what they see as rotations and who plays when and how. And how do you not shoot the three? I mean, all these questions come up, but fans have that right. That's who they are. They pay money to see this team play, and that's the backbone of the franchise. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. It has cooled a bit. Now you're starting to hear that they're going to try to play it back. I'm not sure if that will work unless you have Donovan and Rudy in the same room and work out whatever issues there are. And again, you know, the Jazz have done a marvelous job of trying to keep that conversation, Scotty, in hands at kind of a low boil. You know, I think there are always issues with any team. Let's be honest. I think the Jazz, we kind of got into a situation or a sense that it was just a good old boys club with Joe. And, you know, Joe's gone. And whether he returns or not is to be seen. But I still have, and I've said this before on the air, and I think Joe was a big part of the glue of what this team was. He had kind of a little edge to him. And I like the fact that he became a guy in this league, prolific three-point shooter, and that he had a hard time convincing teams that he could play at this level, right, in the NBA. And it's a feel-good story because there's not enough of those, in my opinion. There's a lot of guys who think and come into this league, Ben Simmons, who believe they deserve to be at the top immediately without hard work. And I think Joe's just a good, feel-good story about a guy who can come in here and obviously had the trust of Quinn, was like another coach on the floor. And also, by the way, he was a great pick-and-roll compliment to Rudy Gobert. And people kind of maybe forgot that. Maybe they haven't. But, you know, the touches that Rudy got were mostly delivered on many nights by one Joe Ingles. So you can't think of the past. He may be back. He may not. Who knows what he wants or what the Jazz want. But, you know, he's a player that, you know, there's a few that come along, like a Joe, like a D-Faves, Carl and John, that just stick in your, you know, in the heads of fans who say, man, I wish he could always play and always be a part of the franchise. But I'm anxious to see where they go. Hans and Scotty, there's talk. First it was Rudy. First it was Donovan. And now you say, oh, they're going to bring him back. I mean, someone's feeding the flame, right? Or if this is just a fan who on social media has the ability to dominate this type of talk. But are there leaks from agents? Are there leaks from family members? Are there leaks from players? Who knows? But it's all going to come out, and we're going to get a feel for what's going on sooner than later, as soon as the draft night approaches, probably, what, 5 weeks out?
Yep.
So it's a chance again to kind of, for this franchise, to take a breath and really decide what direction they want to go, because, you know, they're still on paper good. On the floor, they're good. But what do you have to do to really put them at the top at the West? Because, you know, it's not going to get any weaker, by the way. Luka Doncic is all of 23, and Dallas is going to continue to build around him. Now, Chris Paul's age may take him out of it sooner than later in Phoenix. And Golden State, there's been rumors, you know, that Klay Thompson will be moved to the Lakers. I mean, who knows? But the Jazz have just got to keep pace and see what they need to do to be more consistent. And they've got to play, I think, a better defensive scheme as well, and can't channel everything into Gobert. And sometimes I think what the Jazz did was just sit back and go, he'll take care of it. I think that frustrates Rudy too. And what we're seeing in the postseason is that I think you got to have a team concept, a team effort on the defensive end.
It's Craig Bowler, Jack, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz right here on the Zone Sports Network. Does it... I mean, are you in a weird spot because it's go, 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 and then last few weeks it's been stopped? I mean, how are you filling your days? How are you filling your days?
I'm leaving here soon to go up to Midway. I'm working on trying to get a new little mini tractor, but you know what? You can't order them. There's not many around because of the chip. You're right. You got to have a electric starter chip, I guess. And they're, you know, I'm looking. I don't think I want a big boy, you know, to go out there and, you know, plant the back 40, but I just kind of need a new piece of machinery to play around with.
Go up and you know, I'd sent you a picture of our guys up in Brigham City. That place is packed with stuff. They got all kinds.
I got to be honest, Scotty, I don't know if I can handle that two-handed motion thing, man. I need a wheel. you know?
Oh, he's talking about the two handles.
Oh, yeah, okay,
yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't drive a tank, you know.
I think they could probably find something for you.
Whatever the heck that is. But I got, you know, maybe I'm a quick, no, I'll try to be a quick learner and see.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'd drive it right through the back door. So, but no, it's weird. You know, I like work.
Yeah, I know you do.
I like work, and you know, you guys save me on a Friday to you know, get into the weekend and kind of talk and get, you know, just talk hoop, talk life, and it's good, connect with fans. But you know, honestly, man, I like to work. I got to be honest. And Scotty, I saw you last week. Hands, you were away, and I'm glad you got away. Scotty, it's your turn. But you got to just step back. And this season, in fact, as I said, Scotty, last week. You know, those three seasons were compacted into like two after the COVID hit, and they let, you know, they shut things down and restarted it and found the bubble. And, you know, just the 72 games last year and 82 this. We've been on a fast track. And I think the frustrations, too, of the way the Jazz played since the first of the year, they were hit late with COVID and hit late with injuries, and then just never really found any semblance of a groove or. What was it? I think they just lost confidence. Mojo went out the door, and it's hard to. And hands again. I ask you, man, at a high level, you know, that's where you kind of either succeed or fail, right? If you lose confidence, that can be the kiss. And I think the Jazz were part of that, where they played well than they almost expected in the fourth quarter. I got that sense from just sitting there with Thurl of just saying, "Wow, I don't know if they have the sense or the confidence." To push it to the finish line, and that's kind of what happened right before the All-Star break and after.
Well, Bowler, it's always a pleasure. It's always an honor. And
no, it's my pleasure. What are you guys doing this weekend, by the way?
You know, I don't have a lot of plans this weekend.
Not a lot of plans. I got a little golf. I think that I'm gonna get out there, enjoy some of the sun, because we're supposed to have some 78.
Yeah, the weather's supposed to really start to look like spring or early summer.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
I figured both you guys' first words would be going to put a pork butt on the smoker and go.
You know, honestly,
that's what I was expecting.
I picked up a big flat top griddle, and I'm not cheating on my smoker, but I've been spending a little bit of time on that flat top.
You done a cheesesteak on that yet?
Yeah, do a little cheesesteak. Maybe, you know, we might do a little smash burgers over the weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, can you guys promise that this summer you guys are you going to try to do another rib off or chicken cook-off?
If we do, we might need new judges. That's
Scotty was talking
the last go around.
Scotty was talking.
I want to be the guy in there. I want to just, you know.
Scotty was talking about a brisket. Guys,
sorry, but you know, I was kind of that third judge in the back there, just looking around, and I could see you're a little panicky. But
no.
I have confidence in you.
No, that okay. Look, there, you talk about pressure, and you talk about playing well in the fourth quarter. I may have what's that name of the Boston Red Sox guy that let the ball go through his legs?
Buckner.
Yeah, I kind of Bill Buckner'd that thing.
Bill Buckner, you had those high tops on, and
yeah,
went right both
and that
your
one
legs,
that
huh?
one got away from me, and yet we still finished in second. And we were right there, neck and neck. You know, I want another shot at Bob.
I think it ought to be done. I think it ought to be a huge crowd. Well, you know, I don't care where you guys put it. Put up that shade tent, because when you put up a shade tent, you know then that's a big thing going on.
Yeah. And so we're going to try to put something together. Yes. The answer to your question is yes. I do think there needs to be around two.
Listeners need. We need to get out there and get, you know, a couple hundred fans around there with some giveaways and a little taste test on that barbecue, and you guys go to work.
Yeah.
I get to sit there and eat. That sounds good to me.
He was thinking brisket this time.
I like brisket, man, a lot.
A little competition brisket.
I like brisket.
I just want, like, I want, Hans, you got to enter into this thing, too.
No, man, I dabble. You guys pro this thing.
I think it's a classic, and I think fans demand it. In fact, I heard it around the grocery store the other day. Whatever happened to the wing off? See, I'm telling you, man, I think it's time to turn the clock back a few years and let the feast begin. And Hans has to be a competitor, by the way.
Oh man, I can't.
No, those years are behind
us. The old days. You know what? You know what I want to do, Bowler. Now that we're working with this name, image, and likeness, and I haven't really gone back and forth with Scotty on this, but I think it'd be fun to grab one or two players from each team. Let the players decide.
Do a little offensive line. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. This is a no-brainer.
Oh, that's almost scary.
All right. For all you restaurant owners out there listening right now, we just laid that thing. It was a layup for you.
We'll go get the guys.
We'll get the guys.
We'll bring the radio.
You bring...
Bowler will be there.
Yeah, we'll bring everybody. We'll bring everybody down there. We'll get some big O linemen down there.
Doesn't even have to just be wings.
Who do you think could gorge the most? Offensive linemen get the or defensive linemen? Because I think everybody assumes O linemen.
Defensive linemen.
I assume O. Hands, what do you think?
We would all assume offensive linemen, but those defensive linemen get ravishingly hungry. Just, salivating, drooling all over the place and growling bellies.
I'll leave you guys alone, but I remember at K-State, there was a Ramada Inn across from the Union in Manhattan, and they started doing like all-you-can-eat buffet for $9.95. It lasted 1 week. Guess who showed up?
The football team.
Exactly. And absolutely ran them out of...
It's like Hans and I when he showed up at that Aria buffet down in Vegas.
And they shut down after.
Yeah, they're like, nope, nope.
No, it was funny. They thought, it'd be kind of a family thing. Come down there. Those guys didn't leave. They ate lunch and dinner.
Oh, boy.
I was just at the Polynesian, their cultural center out in Hawaii. And they had a buffet. It's a luau buffet.
Yeah.
And they've got that. It's not ice cream. What is that? It's like a French ice cream, but it's kind of creamier.
Sorbet. Sherbet.
It's kind of like that. But it also has like a really rich chocolate. Anyways, I went back for like four servings. And
they keep looking at you.
I was laughing so hard because they're looking at me like, I think we're going to close now, sir. I'm pretty sure you've... Gelato.
There you go.
Thanks, Megan. I'm surprised they just didn't say, here you go, pal. Don't come back. Just take this whole... take the tray or take take the bucket and go.
Oh, man. I went back for so much gelato. It's really tasty. And when it's buffet style, that's the one thing. Bowler, I thought that I was an ice cream eater until Scotty challenged me to the half-gallon challenge, which... didn't go well. I couldn't finish the half gallon. What did we give ourselves, 20 minutes?
I think we 30 minutes.
Bowler, did you ever hear when Scotty and I did our most recent eating challenge?
No, what was it?
Well, Scotty's cheese sticks.
Yeah, mozzarella sticks.
20 cheese sticks.
How many did you put down?
I think we got to 16 or 17.
Yeah, he was just had a couple left. And mine was a half gallon of ice cream. Scotty was close. I struggled. They got me like a high cream ice cream instead of that air puffed ice cream,
So you are going with the higher level, rich and churned.
Oh, yeah. No, this was high end.
Basically, they rolled a cow out and fresh squeezed the milk into a can and froze it and put it in my face.
with a ton of caramel. It was rich.
Yeah, that'll do you in. Yeah. I'll do
the end. Yeah, Scotty hasn't eaten a cheese stick since.
Nope.
I ate ice cream later that evening.
Well, Bowler, we'll figure something out. We'll do it right. This, if nothing else, we'll have a big old barbecue out the place, and we'll have all the.
Well, like you said, if you need somebody to help, I'm not doing much. I'm just waiting for summer league. The first week of right after the 4th of July, 5, 6, 7 at the arena. And then before that, draft night, some trades I'm sure will come down. So there'll be some talk coming here pretty soon.
All those draft picks the Jazz have coming in for some.
Yeah.
They stockpile.
Yeah. You're the best.
Thank you. OKC, I think, owns everyone until 2028.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Crazy.
Thanks,
all right,
Bowler.
Guys, thanks for the call.
You got it. Craig Bowler, Jack, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Show today brought to you by U First Credit Union. Utah's growing. U First Credit Union is growing, too. Now, their name may have changed, but that commitment to you has not. Over 110,000 members, but they treat you like you are their only one. You're more than just a number. You're a name. You're somebody who's trying to have financial goals, and they're going to help make that happen for you. Whatever you need your financial institution to do for you, they will make that happen for you. Go to ufirstcu.com for more details. That's the letter U, ufirstcu.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, brought to you by Zero Res. They don't use soaps or harsh chemicals to clean those carpets like most carpet cleaners do. Right now, schedule your carpet cleaning. $33 per room. Some minimum supplies, so search Zero Res online for details.
Well, this is a real story, and we're going to New Delhi for this story. A retired Indian couple is suing their son and daughter-in-law, demanding that they produce a grandchild within a year or pay them $675,000. These two retired individuals are 61-year-old retired government officer, said it was an emotional and sensitive issue for him and his wife, and they cannot wait any longer. His son is a pilot, was married 6 years ago, and this is the quote. We want a grandson or a granddaughter within a year, or we want our compensation, because I have spent my life's earning on my son's education.
It doesn't take a lot of education to make a grandchild.
He said that Prasad has said that he spent $47,300 for his son's pilot training in the United States. And he said, the main issue is that at this age, we need a grandchild. But these people, talking about his son and his daughter-in-law, he said, but these people have an attitude that they don't think about us very often. We got him married in the hope we would have the pleasure of becoming grandparents. It's been 6 years since the marriage. It feels as if, despite having everything we have nothing without a grandchild. They're going to sue for $675,000 if they don't produce a grandkid.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to hold up in court, but I don't know. Maybe over there in New Delhi, it might.
Is this just a bizarre thing?
Yeah, that's a bizarre story.
But it is absolutely for real.
Yeah.
This is a real story, and I was like, what would force you to be so upset with your kid? You're like, God, it's been 5 years. Is a grandkid that important?
Look, I mean, I don't really want to throw this out in the universe, but like, you know, my oldest is going to be turning 20.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Might.
But I'm not like looking forward to that day at all to where,
You got a great
kid. When he gets married, that's really going to bum me out because that's going to make me feel old. And when they have produce a grandchild, then that's really going to make me feel old. Like, I don't want any part of that. That sounds awful.
I'm definitely not going to sue my kids to get one.
No.
Like, if they're choosing just not to have a kid because they want to be fiscally responsible, then it's like...
I'm like all for that. Because when you start having kids, then that means... and especially in this day and age when real estate is ridiculous, then that means they might... You know, your child and their spouse and that kid might come live in your basement, and that sounds really awful.
There's a good likelihood.
I definitely want no part of that.
You're going to have a screaming, crying baby in your house. Everybody I've ever talked to says, grandbabies are so much better. I don't know. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I'm not a granddad, so I don't know. But people claim that having grandkids is the absolute best. Well, you can give them back when they have a pooey diaper. Well, you don't have to pay for their formula, which you can't get right now.
Yeah, well, that's awful.
Yeah, it's getting really bad. I can definitely see some of the benefits, but then you always ask the question, do they make noise and divert my attention away from my TV show? Yes.
Yes and yes.
Well, give me the positives.
I mean, the one benefit of having older children is that they can go do other things. You know,
yeah.
You can send them away and you can watch your television program.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't know.
Now they do get more expensive, but you know, there's upside. All right, well, that's our good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
You want me to handle this? We talked about this yesterday. We don't need to bring this up again. Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, arrested and was charged with second degree criminal tampering with a domestic violence enhancer. All right, so what happened here? Well, Jerry Judy, the mother of his child, was trying to leave. She's trying to move to Maryland or somewhere like that, and she was trying to leave. Jerry Judy did not want her to leave, so he locked a car seat, her purse, and a couple other items of hers in a car, his car, so that she was not allowed to leave. Judy was released with full contact allowed between him and the woman. Even she said, "I didn't really want any trouble. I just wanted to get my stuff back." Per his attorney, Harvey Steinberg, who added the judge stated there was no probable cause to believe that there was any threat or use of physical force against the victim. She even admitted that there wasn't really, she didn't feel threatened, but that she just wanted to get her personal items back. So there you go.
So this is just about him not letting her have personal items?
Yeah, that he locked, and including the car seat, too, which is obviously...
I had no idea you could get arrested for that.
That was my thought, too. Maybe there's more to this, but that's the details that have been released so far.
All right, well...
No physical contact was made.
I think your tweet is probably right, then.
The charges, much like balls thrown his way, will end up being dropped.
That's a good tweet. You left it, right?
I did, yeah, I left it.
Did things get ugly for you a little bit?
No, I think people realized.
People took it the way it was supposed to be?
Brown said, Judy prevented the woman from retrieving several items, including the woman's wallet, medical information for the child, and car seat. She said she wanted to go back to Virginia, but could not leave without those belongings, telling the deputy she did not want to get Judy into trouble, but just wanted her items back. So, there you go.
Well, it sounds like it was a mature conversation.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
Doesn't that sound
How about
like
this?
An ultra
Jerry
mature...
Judy probably should have been arrested and detained just for being a moron.
For being a brat.
Look, if she wants her things, you got to give her the things.
Just give her the things.
Don't be. Mm-hmm. Which was really awkward because yesterday the NFL schedule release came out. And you know how these teams do these big grandiose video productions and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
The Broncos released theirs yesterday, and Jerry Judy had a role in it. Like he was.
Oh, man.
It's like, oh, that's awkward. Bad timing. All right. There's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Well, this is kind of a serious situation. And Sidney Crosby, who is kind of the backbone of that Penguins team, is now going to be out of Game 6 with a concussion. The Penguins were leading, Scotty, 2-0, and he attempted to continue the game after receiving this concussion or this hit to the head. Went to the locker room with 5:43 remaining in the second period of Game 5. He did not return for the third. New York ends up rallying from behind and ended up the night with a 5-3 win. They avoided elimination, and now the Penguins hold a 3-2 lead in the series. But Sidney Crosby is out for the entirety of Game 6.
Whew.
So he's your captain. He's your scoring leader. He's all everything. When you talk about the NHL, he's one of the few names that I can always mention or I can always bring up. For the most part, people know who Sidney Crosby is. And not having him in Game 6 could be a real problem. How about New York? He goes out with a 2-0 lead, and New York rallies to a 5-3 win. And it's an elimination. Their back is against the wall. But they push it to a 3-2. No Sidney Crosby for Game 6. It's a bad deal.
Mm. Yeah. I want to watch more hockey. And I always tell myself I need to spend more time watching this.
I'm right there with you.
And I don't do it.
I'm right there
and
with
I should.
You.
Like I love Game 7 hockey, you know, playoff game.
I do too, but I don't. Why is it?
I need to search it out. Well, okay.
It's difficult.
Well, it's different. First off, this is the thing hockey's got to figure out. Like, even if you take less money, you got to get on ESPN. Like, you've got to. These playoff games need to be on bigger platforms. Find a way to get a Game 7 on network ABC or whatever. Like, find a way to get it out in front. You don't want to go digging around trying to find games. And I think that would certainly help because a lot of us kind of stumble into things because we just, it's on ESPN and you just go to ESPN and there it is. You know, if it's on NBC Sportsnet or CBS Sportsnet, you know, are you really going to be trying to find that? Probably not.
Yep. You know, honestly, probably not. The Penguins Rangers game six without Sidney Crosby is on TNT. I'm with you. I always tell myself, hey, you're going to go watch more of this postseason, NHL postseason. And then for one reason or the other, I watch for a minute and I lose interest and then I forget about games. Even in game seven, I'm like, oh, man, that game seven in NHL. Because it is thrilling when you sit down and watch it. But for some reason, the NHL just does not have the pull and cachet for me.
I know. And it bums me out.
Do our listeners watch a lot of NHL postseason?
You send out a poll. Do you watch NHL postseason?
I'll send out a poll on that.
Because you know what we know? Polls are fun.
Polls are a good time.
Polls are fun.
We've learned that from Jake Scott. Polls are a really good time. Am I going to send this out on Twitter or on Instagram?
On the gram. Oh, no, on the Insta. Sorry, Megan. Megan, correct me on that.
But come on, polls are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Good job, Megan.
Way to go, man.
That was quicker than Lloyd ever would have got it out there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think in the world of professional sports postseasons, I even watch more baseball than I watch NHL. Like I'll watch a couple baseball series every year,
yeah,
or at least portions of a baseball series every year. But for some reason, the NHL, man, it's just
I have a hard time with it.
But they are the tougher athletes.
They're
tougher and they care.
Like, these are dudes, like, NBA players pretend like they want to fight. NHL players actually want to fight. Like, these are tough dudes. They're extraordinary athletes. And they deserve it.
All right. Poll question is released. You can find it at 975Hants on Twitter. And it's very simple. Do you watch NHL postseason? Should I leave many options, or just just yes or no?
Yeah, I'd say just yeah. Simple as that. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. All right, coming up next, a little whole world news straight ahead right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
We got the whole world in our hands.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. All right, whole world news, Hans. This hits a little close to home to you, and it also involves a player, and spoiler alert, that will be involved in our top 60 and 60. Let's go live to the, well, not live, but let's go to the Polynesian Cultural Center, where you were at just, what, a week ago?
Yeah. Incredible time.
I don't know if you had a chance to see this or not, but at the Polynesian Cultural Center, they have the World Championship Fire Knife competition.
Yes. They advertised that the whole time I was there.
Oh, yeah? Guess who won for the second consecutive year the World Fire Knife Championship?
Would I have a chance at guessing?
Probably not. Defensive tackle for Utah State, Holly Matuapuaka.
He really did win that.
He's actually won three. This is his third.
He's current, right?
He won last year. He won 2018, 2021, and just won the championship for 2022.
Gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
I wonder, does he perform there? Because I watched a couple of them.
I don't know if he spent some time there in the offseason. But he's been, by the way, there's footage of him doing this at 8 years old, started as a kid. And these dudes, like, these are knives, like, and torches, and they're all on fire. And, I mean, it's crazy to watch with, and you probably saw this up close and in person.
It's incredible. In fact, the Polynesian Cultural Center in Oahu is doing a new show. It's called Breath of Life. And it essentially follows the journey of a very young Polynesian boy kind of growing up in the tradition, and they've got a couple of different fire throwing events, and they play with fire a lot, and they put it out, and it's they throw this thing like 80 feet up a cliff, and this other guy 80 feet up like grabs it and starts wow. flinging it up at the top of the cliff, chucks it back down, and this dude grabs it, you know, because the both ends are on fire.
Yeah.
And this dude grabs it in the middle, and then he starts flinging it, and then he lights two more, and he puts one like behind his knee, and you're like, it is some of the most impressive display of entertainment you can ever imagine. So you know this guy, right?
Yeah, all these great. I've interviewed. I don't know him. Like, I mean, we covered the team, and he's been on the coach's show a couple times. Really, really good dude.
We got to get him on to talk about his championship.
I would think
because
so,
yeah. that is they go to great lengths to advertise that thing. And that's actually a big deal. And I think you win quite a bit of money on it.
I saw him hold a check. It looked like $7,000, $8,000, somewhere around there.
Good for him. That's a great. That should be more. I mean, you are throwing a knife that's got fire on it.
I mean, isn't that the cost of admit for one ticket to the Polynesian Cultural Center?
You might be able to shave off a little bit more on that purse.
But I thought it was,
what they do is extremely impressive.
Yeah, but
man,
to be
I want you to go to that Breath of Life. I think you would love it.
Well, I'm down too. Well, apparently, I'm going to be in Hawaii a lot next year. So
the dancing and the you need to go when you're there. Do it. I'm telling you.
I won't be
take
able to
my advice on this.
I won't have time during the football, but basketball. I mean, geesh, unless they shut down around Christmas time, because I will be spending Christmas Day. I think I'm there like the 21st through the 26th.
My guess is it won't be open on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I doubt that. But
we could ask him. Maybe you do a special performance for you.
Yeah. Holly, let's go.
I'm just telling you, Lima's got a lot of pull down there.
Well, that's good to hear.
A lot.
Why does he? I mean, look, I'm glad that Lima's here. And I think it's awesome that he's part of our community.
I asked him this.
But why would you leave there? Like, you're royalty over there.
The Harringtons own Oahu. Well, it's kind of a combination of the Harringtons and one or two other Polynesian families. But he could own it. And I don't know why. I asked him. I was like, why? I haven't got an answer yet. Why would you ever come back?
I'm glad he's here.
It's like the Garden of Eden over there. It's pristine. It's perfect. And
it's always what? 78 degrees.
Yes. And when it's 82, it's kind of a cool breeze and you're down by the beach. I don't know. Don't know why anybody would leave. But you got to go to that show. Promise me. You will get your Uber. And you will go over to that show. You would love it, man.
I was gonna run by you if you wanted me to try to get Holly on.
And
to talk about this.
Absolutely. We got to get him on. I'd love to talk to him about that. And I told you, every guy out there that's dancing and throwing these swords around, everybody looks like Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Just ripped out of their mind.
And that's the thing about, like, you know, The Rock is like an opposing figure. But you go over to Hawaii or you go to any neighborhood Polynesian cookout.
He just fits in.
He's just like he's another dude.
Yeah. These dudes that are out there, like there's this one dance that they do where three guys put out this huge fire with using, they sit on it. They sit on the fire.
Really?
Yeah. And it's unbelievable. They put out the fire with their bottoms, their behinds. I can't even believe it. And it's raging fire.
Yeah.
Like it's fire, breathing fire up their back and up their neck and they're sitting on it. And it's like, that's dangerous, guys. But then when they're sitting on the fire, here comes this dude flinging swords with fire on the end of it. And you're like, well, I thought that was dangerous. These guys have swords that are on fire. I don't know what's going on with them. Matuapuaka?
Yeah, Holly. Holly Matuapuaka.
We've got to get him on. I know. I know we're a little more excited about this than the NHL postseason.
I know. People are like, wait. And by the way, apparently the NHL playoffs are on ESPN. It shows you how much I pay attention to this.
Okay, but so should this flaming sword throwing be.
Yes. By the way, tweet rolling in from UPS guy. We need a flag football team update. No, we don't. No. Nope. Don't need it.
My guys
don't want it.
My guys didn't get over the hill.
Okay, so I actually had. Okay, so when you're sitting there and your teams are warming up and getting ready, and you look at the opposing team and you're watching them, and then there'll be a lot of times I'll watch. I'm like, all right, we're gonna be able to hang with these guys. We're gonna be okay. And last night I looked over and we were the Chargers and they were the Cowboys. And I looked over at the Cowboys and I'm like, uh-oh.
you knew.
And I had my best, well, I don't want to say my best, but my fastest player that I run a lot of my stuff through. He got a text about 2 hours before from his dad saying, not going to be there tonight. And I'm already down another player that quit. And so, like, I'm down. And I look at that other team, and by the way, you'd like this. They're all like dressed to the nines, like they're all got Cleveland shoes, and they all had little wristbands.
Doggone it!
They all had wristbands with their plays on them.
How old are we?
We're 10.
Oh no!
They had wristbands.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, we're in trouble. And the coach afterwards came over. He's like, hey man, I heard you on the air, and I heard you were feeling a little confident. And I'm like, and he goes, and I don't want to be a jerk, but I knew you guys were going to be in trouble. And I'm like,
his old team's good.
Yeah, well, he's had them for like 5 years. He goes, it's been the same team. I've had these kids forever.
Oh.
And like my kids are running around chasing butterflies, and these kids are like running through drills, and I'm like, oh no.
They had wristbands?
Wristbands, all of them. And he'd yell at a number, and they'd all flip open their wristband. And they were fast. Holy smokes, were they fast.
You know what?
You know what? Props to my kids. They fought. They fought hard. But, yeah, it did not go our way. It was not a pleasant night for us.
Let's just stop playing around, and let's just go direct snap to Brody.
And I did. I did a couple of those.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm like, it was, you know, he's my short yardage guy. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I need a first down. Brody's going to get you that first down. Not going to get you much after that, but he's going to get you that first down.
Not a ton after yards after touch, huh?
Yeah. He'll get a few yards after contact.
Yeah.
But
that's funny.
Yeah. All right. 2 o'clock. Hands of Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.